Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmuduhu ve nasalli ala rasuli al-karim. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 16th of May in the year 2022. And alhamdulillah, we moved on to the fourth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu. And in the previous session I mentioned that his mother found out about his embracing Islam and she cut ties with him. And of course, like I mentioned, this shows that to him, Iman was above everything, including his parents. So the next section is entitled, The First Blood Drawn of the Unbelievers. As is well known, in the early days of Islam, the believers radiyallahu ta'ala anhum were careful not to arouse the wrath of the unbelieving Quraysh. Thus, they would often go out in groups together outside of Makkah, where they would offer the congregational prayer without being seen. So, what's an interesting point here is that they were offering salah, and salat was made obligatory in the 10th year. So what was this prayer? So this indicates that the salat was already in place. The second interesting point, they were offering it in congregation, but they would go in the outside of Makkah because they didn't want the unbelievers to taunt them. So in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 127 of the New English Translation, Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 1, page 330 of the English Translation, Ibn Ishaq, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Allah the Almighty then ordered his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after 3 years of his mission, to announce it openly and to remain firm against the evil of the polytheists. It was the habit of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whenever they offered the salah, they would go to the mountain passes and thus pray hidden from the eyes of their people. Once, while Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu, along with a group of Muslims, were in a mountain pass, some polytheists spotted them praying. They thereupon disapproved of their conduct and criticized what they did. Thus, a quarrel ensued amongst them, which ultimately led to a scuffle. On that day, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu struck a polytheist with a camel's jawbone and wounded his head. That was indeed the first blood to be shed in Islam. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So it mentions in this report that the public phase had started. It was now the third year. And they were offering their prayers in the mountain passes away from the people. But it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unbelievers spotted them. And then a quarrel led to a scuffle. And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas was given the unique honor. He was the first person, first believer, to shed the blood of an unbeliever for the sake of Islam. And this was the incident which caused this. Hafiz ibn Kathir added, rahmatullah alayh, in his Seerah, volume 1, page 330 of the English translation, Al-Umawi, rahmatullah alayh, related this incident at length in his Maghazi. His account states that the man wounded was Abdullah ibn Khatl. God damn him. So Hafiz ibn Kathir said that if you look at other references, who was the one that he struck? It was Abdullah ibn Khatl. And Ibn Kathir said, God damn him. Why? Because he died as an unbeliever. In fact, he was the one who was clinging to the Kaaba. And the Prophet ﷺ said, kill him. Even though he was clinging to the Kaaba. So it's very significant that his was the first blood that was spilled of the unbelievers. And he died with unbelief. Thus, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu would later proudly proclaim, Inni la'awwalu rajulin أَحْرَاقَ دَمَّنْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Verily, I am the first man who shed blood in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This is in Sahih Bukhari, number 3728, Sahih Muslim, number 2966, Tirmidhi, number 2365, in his Shama'il, number 373, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, 2-99, Riyad al-Salihin, number 500, Targheeb, volume 5, page 179, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 530 of the New English Translation. So what's interesting about the report in the Sahih, it doesn't give you details. All Sa'd said was, I am the first man who shed blood in the path of Allah. So obviously, question, where did this occur? Was it during a campaign? And it was far before this, it was in the Makkah period. Subhanallah, as such, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu had the distinct honor in Islam whilst just in his 20s of striking the very first blow in the conflict between Islam and unbelief. A conflict that was later to escalate and test the courage of the Muslims. So if you think about this, this was an incredible honor. Because if even if you, you know, thought to yourself, who had the honor? Who was given the honor of shedding the blood of the unbelievers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And whoever it was, you know he's going to be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who did Allah the Almighty and Glorious choose? Sa'd. And he was about 20, 21 years old, very young at the time as well, radiallahu anhu. But after being informed of this incident, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoined upon his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be patient and forbearing, for this was initially the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet, did he approve of it? No. He goes, he didn't give orders to engage. So he goes, be patient and show forbearance at this stage. This is not the time. But whatever the case, he was given that honor, Sa'd radiallahu anhu. The next subsection. The first to fire an arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this was not enough honor for this most noble man, it is further related that he himself said, وَإِنِّي لَأَوَّلُ رَجُلٍ رَمَى بِسَحْمٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And I am the first man who shot an arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 3728. Number 5412, Sahih Muslim, number 2966, Tirmidhi, number 2365, in his Shama'il, number 373, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 1621, Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, 2-99, Riyad al-Salihin, number 500, Targheeb, volume 5, page 179, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 530 of the New English Translation. So in the two blessed Sahihs, no details, he just gave the answer. He goes, I am the first man who shot an arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As will be mentioned, inshaAllah, this was during the first year after the hijrah, when Sa'd was now around 30 years of age, when our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dispatched 60 to 80 mujahids under the command of his cousin, Sayyidina Ubaidah ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu, as related in Ibn Asakir, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 329 of the New English Translation, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 715-6 of the Old English Translation. So this is after the Hijrah. And he was under the command of the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were 60 to 80 Mujahideen. They were thereupon suddenly confronted by the unbelievers. And Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, radiallahu anhu, in a flash of lightning, took his famed bow and started fighting at the unbelievers, all the while reciting poetry. Subhanallah, worthy honors for the most noble man. So, is that a coincidence? He was the first to shed blood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was the first to fire an arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that indicates where Allah ta'ala was going to use him. Because obviously, if Allah ta'ala gave him that honor, we know he's going to play a most prominent role on the various battlefields. It is also worth mentioning that two of the men on the unbeliever side fled from them to join the Muslims. They were Miqdad ibn Amr, the ally of Banu Zuhra, and Utba ibn Ghazwan, radiallahu anhu, who was the ally of Banu Nawfal ibn Abd Manaf. They had hid their iman and thus awaited an opportunity to join with their brothers. So what's interesting is there were many hidden Muslims. And these two, they weren't from the Quraysh, they were allies. So one had an ally to Banu Zuhra, Miqdad, and the other was an ally of Banu Nawfal, meaning that they had to be very careful. And look what intelligently they did. They went with the unbelievers. And when they spotted their brothers, they quickly joined sides on this at this encounter. It was the same Utbah ibn Ghazwan who later said in Sahih Muslim number 2967, Tirmidhi in his Shama'il number 374, Ibn Majah number 4156, Tabarani in his Awsat 4-243. I found myself the seventh of the seven with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ate nothing but tree leaves until the corners of our mouths were covered with ulcers and blisters. I then happened to find a mantle which I divided between myself and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. Such were the extreme austerity in those days. Now there is not a single one of us, amongst the seven, except he is now a governor of a city. And indeed you will put the governors to test after us. So what's fascinating is, this was the early period of Islam, and they were going through tremendous hardships. Couldn't even eat, couldn't even wear clothes, they were sharing things. But Utbah ibn Ghazwan said, now the seven, who he mentioned, were all governors. So what he was saying was, you know, look how times have changed. He goes, we didn't have nothing to eat, they have nothing to wear, we were with Rasulullah, we were very content. And now he goes, we're governors. And then he said, and you're going to put governors to test, meaning you're going to test us with this. It was because of this honor of firing the first arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Hafiz Zahabi said about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu. The people thus called him the Cavalier, the Knight of Islam. For he was the first to fire an arrow in the cause of Islam. Mentioned by Hafiz Zahabi in his seer. So this is his title, the Knight or the Cavalier of Islam. So the reason there's a discrepancy whether he's a knight or a cavalier is because he was on horseback. Some say he was firing arrows on horseback. Others say no, he was on foot. Whatever the case, that's his title, the Cavalier, the Knight of Islam, because of his extraordinary fighting prowess. So now, what do we know about shooting arrows in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The virtues of shooting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are immense. To mention a few reports. Amr ibn Abasa radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man rama bisahmin fi sabilillahi fahuwa lahu idlu muharrara. Whoever shoots an arrow and it reaches either enemy, whether it hits the target or misses, it will be as if he set free a slave from amongst the children of Ismail. This is in Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Hasan, Sahih, Abu Ahmad in his Musnad, Riyad al-Salihin, number 1337. So let's look at this. So the Prophet said that you're in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You fire an arrow, and whether it hits or not is no consequence. That's very important. Why? Because most of the time you may not hit. So have you wasted a bullet? No. Whether you hit or miss, it will be as if you set free a slave from the children of Ismail. Sahih hadith in the sunnahs. And that's the most priceless slave you can free. Thus, how many priceless slaves from the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, father Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam, had Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas freed. He was the first to fire an arrow in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another report. In Nasa'i, in his Sunnah, Sayyidina Qa'ab ibn Murrah radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shoot arrows, for he whose arrow hits the enemy, by it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him a degree in paradise. Ibn An-Naham radiyallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how high is this 1 degree? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is a distance of 100 years journey between each 2 degrees. Subhanallah. So here the Prophet mentions something even more amazing. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you hit the enemy, there's a condition. If you hit or miss, you still free a slave from the children of Ismail alayhi salatu wa sallam. If you hit your enemy, Allah ta'ala raises you a degree in paradise, a daraja. So one of the companions, Ibn al-Naham radiyallahu anhu, said, this degree, because we think of people like this when you think of a degree. He goes, what is this degree, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the distance of 100 years between each two. So you're in Jannah, you've leapfrogged 100 years higher because of hitting the target with an arrow. Thus, how many countless degrees has Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas ascended into the glorious levels of paradise? So when you hear the report, he was the first, people don't appreciate it because most of us haven't done jihad. But the mujahids, you can't catch them, right? You know, they're getting things that you can only dream about. If that wasn't enough, there's another report. In Nasa'i, Abu Dawood ibn Majah, Ahmed Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-104, Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Fath al-Rabbani 13-129, Riyad al-Salihin number 1335. Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inna Allah yurkhilu بِالسَّحْمِ الْوَاحِدِ ثَلَاثَةَ نَفَرِ الْجَنَّةِ Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most blessed, most high, will grant three people entry into paradise just for one arrow. صَانِئَةُ يَحْتَسِبُ فِي صَنْأَتِهِ الْخَيْرِ Firstly, the maker who has a good motive in making the arrow, he goes to paradise. Subhanallah. Secondly, the one who shoots it, he goes to paradise. And Wamumbila, the one who hands it to the archer. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So this is another Sahih hadith in the Sunans. So the Prophet said three people go to paradise because of one arrow. So in today's day and age, one bullet. So imagine you get a bullet and you go, three people go to paradise with that. How valuable is that bullet? It could be a normal smashed up bullet. It should have to be gold or silver. It's a bullet. And imagine telling that to the Mujahideen, how happy they're going to get. And the report says, the one who has a good motive in making it. So he's not even on the battlefield. He's just in the field of making, you know, ammunition. But in his heart, he's going, Ya Allah, I'm doing this so that the Mujahids will use it in your way, your path. He goes to paradise. Imagine those who are working in these fields for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the one who fires it. And thirdly, it doesn't mention hit as well, which is interesting. And thirdly, the one who even hands it. Have you run out of bullets? Here, take mine. Just by handing it, you go to paradise. Subhanallah, such are just some of the unending virtues of those who fight in the glorious path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why have I mentioned this here? First of all, notice when you hear the virtues, you get envious. The whole point of a deed is for you to be envious to do it. No point saying, mashallah, mashallah. No intention at all to do jihad. So in your heart, you're thinking, I'm losing out. So you make that, you know, sincere intention. Ya Allah, if you give me tawfiq, I want to be amongst these people. And think about it. Can you think of any other deed which gives you paradise so easily? Think, he just handed the bullet over. How's that giving him paradise? I don't know, brother. Prophet said it. He shot it. Doesn't even mention hitting it. How does that take into paradise? What are you asking me for, brother? The guy in working, making the bullets, he's going to paradise, yeah? So what does that tell you? The whole person who is involved in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't catch that person. His ranks are elevating so much. He's getting so much virtue that is unbelievable. But of course, in the days of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was firing arrows, archery. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says in Surat Anfal, prepare your forces. And one of the hadith mentions that in the time of the Prophet, it was archery. That was where strength lied. Now obviously it's to do with, you know, military equipment. So note again, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, he was the first to fire an arrow. So what does that mean? Does that mean he gets the virtues of everybody who follows him? He was the first to shed blood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, his virtues are truly immense. And this is why the ulama point out that there are many Sa'ads in amongst the companions. Sa'ad ibn Ubadah, the chief of the Ansar. Sa'ad ibn Mu'ad, another one of the chiefs of the Ansar. Sa'ad ibn Rabi, the martyr of Uhud, who was paired up with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sayyid al-Muslimin, radiyallahu. There was Sa'd ibn Khaytama. So many Sa'ds. Who is the greatest of the Sa'ds? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhu. And what's amazing is, obviously he's one of the 10. But why was he given such an extreme rank by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And one of the things you can know, you notice is his fighting prowess. His fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not forgetting, he was very young. He wasn't, you know, in his 40s. He was still in his 20s, after the hijrah, in his early 30s. Radiyallahu anhu. So we're making a start in the next subsection. The severe hardships in those early days. As the years passed, so did the persecutions. Such were the persecutions that in the seventh year of the prophethood, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers radiyallahu ta'ala, and the tribes of Banu Hashim and Abdul Muttalib were all boycotted and exiled to a small valley, mountain pass, outside of Makkah called Shi'ib Abi Talib. No one was allowed to mix with them whatsoever, I to buy, to sell, etc. So this is important. Who was boycotted? So you say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes. Who else? The Sahaba, yes. Who else? Non-Muslims. Banu Hashim, Banu Abdul Muttalib, they weren't all Muslims. So it's important to highlight that the family of the Prophet weren't all Muslims, but they stuck by him. And who was the famous example of that? Abu Talib, the chief of the Banu Hashim at the time. This inhumane boycott lasted for 3 long grueling years, after which our beloved mother Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu anha passed away to eternal glory, shortly followed by his uncle, our beloved messenger's uncle and guardian, Abu Talib. So that shows how intense that boycott was. Many of the elders passed away because of the hardships they went through. Let alone the elders, Fatima suffered. She was young. She actually became a woman when she entered during those 3 years, the boycott. And she herself said that she struggled even to do the household chores. This is in Bukhari Sharif. And that's what led ultimately to her early passing. So it was something extremely, severe, severe test. So now, who were the ones who were boycotted? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Banu Hashim, Banu Abdul Muttalib. The other tribes weren't. So this is important to highlight. Was Abu Bakr boycotted? No. Was Umar boycotted? No. So again, people don't study the seerah. They think that the Muslims, they weren't all boycotted. It was only Rasulullah and his tribes. This boycott was over 1,000 days. Question. Where was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas? He's not from the Banu Hashim. He's not from the Banu Abdul Muttalib. Hafiz Suhaili in his Ar-Rawd al-Unuf, Sheikh Shibli Nu'mani in his Seerat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 1, page 205 of the English translation, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 530 of the New English translation, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas himself described, radiyallahu, together with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we used to experience harsh and difficult lives in Makkah. Whenever difficulties came, we accepted it. We prepared for it. We exercised patience. Indeed, I saw a time when we were with Rasulullah in Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I went out one night to pass urine. As I passed urine, I heard something making a crackling sound as my urine fell upon it. When I looked, I saw it was a piece of camel leather. I picked it up, I washed it, and I toasted it. Thereafter, I placed it between 2 stones and I ground it. I then swallowed the powder and drank water over it. This gave me strength for 3 days. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So when was this? Makkah. He mentioned we were going through severe hardships. And the Sahaba don't mention the hardships because they're trying to protect their deeds, but they have to highlight so we understand what sort of hardships they went through. Now look at how graphic he described one incident. Because I went for the call of nature to pass urine, and obviously he was sitting and he had crackling. And what was it? It was a piece of leather. Now when you look at leather, is it the first thing that crosses your mind, I'm going to eat it? you know, what level of hunger are you at? And then your lines on it. You think, I'm not going to touch it. So what did he do? He goes, I picked it up, I washed it, I heated it, toasted it. Then I powdered it between two stones and I had it with water. And look what he said, he gave me strength for 3 days. Clarifying further, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas said that the Allah in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya number 186, at one time, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in isolation in the outskirts of Makkah. And as a result of the prohibition of commerce imposed upon us by the Quraysh, we had nothing to eat but the leaves of shrubs and wild plants. And our women gave birth in the open like a ewe. So here it is. It was the boycott. So where was Sa'd in the boycott? He never left the Prophet. He didn't need to go. He could have stayed away on Banu Zuhra. I will aid them somehow. You know, send some food secretly, whatever. No. He goes, I went. And he goes, we were there. And he goes, we had nothing to eat but the leaves of shrubs and wild plants. And then look how he described the blessed women. He goes, they gave birth in the open, like you. Because children were born during the boycott. These narrations prove categorically that Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anh had not migrated to Abyssinia to escape the persecutions like other eminent companions, but had decided to stay with our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout the turbulent Meccan phase. Now, what's interesting about that? Who's the other Sayyid of Banu Zuhra? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Sayyid al-Muslimin. Where was he? Abyssinia. So look how interesting. None of them found fault. Abdul Rahman wasn't rebuked by Sa'd. Sa'd didn't rebuke Abdul Rahman. Abu Bakr and Umar weren't in the boycott. They didn't go into the boycott. Nobody said, why didn't you go in? All of that was permissible. If it was in a command, Rasulullah would have told them to come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is another lesson we can take. We shouldn't find fault with different points of view. As long as it's under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. You know, you could argue what's better. Obviously, to be with the Prophet, you know, I don't think anybody would argue over that. But then somebody could say, well, those who migrated, they didn't know that these boycotts were going to happen. So you could argue that case. And then he goes, yeah, but those who stayed in Makkah, who didn't go into the boycott, they were actually secretly managing to get food and drink in there. If they weren't there, how would the food and drink and they reached the Muslims? And this is the beauty of our deen. If you studied the seerah. And Sa'd, where was he? He was right in with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what makes that incredible? He wasn't from the Banu Hashim. And he wasn't from the Banu Abdul Muttalib. He was Banu Zuhra. And his maternal side is Banu Umayyah. But this shows how sincere a man he was. And look at the way he's describing the hardships. He gives you a glimpse. You know, people say, oh, they went through hardships. What hardship, brother? When we say hardships, what do we say? What does that mean to us? It means I missed my breakfast. Right? Oh, it's a long fast today. Right? And if you look at this, you're thinking, Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today was basically three things. The first is that he was honored to be the first to draw blood from the unbelievers. Allah Ta'ala honored him with this. The second, he was the first to fire an arrow in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And I mentioned a little bit about the virtues of fighting in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then I've started the subsection now in which we're taking a glimpse into the severe hardships that they faced in those early days. Are there any questions? Let us. Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr subhanallahi wa bihamdihi